two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Headed down the home stretch here. We still have a full house. Everybody's here. Russ and Navi with us. Bob and Mark are still with us. And I wanted Bob and Mark to be here along with Navidomskis. And Russ, you can chime in too, about a conversation I heard, and I recorded portions of it, with Dave Fields, who, Bob, I know is an old friend of yours. He's an old friend of mine. Used to handle the marketing stuff up there at Snowbird. Now he's the head man. He's the general manager up there and president. And they had him on the show to talk about the problems at Little Cottonwood Canyon, the transportation problems. And Navi, you and I have had conversations so long about this and the frustrations of needing to get up there, wanting to get up there to do skiing on a good powder day. And it's just become nearly impossible, hasn't it?
Well, it used to be the thing, because we lived here, we had access, but that's just not the case. And the future doesn't look any brighter. This is the natural evolution of the canyon, what's being proposed. There's no doubt it's the way to go. I ski a lot in Switzerland, and that's what they've done. They've protected their ski regions by not allowing access only by tram. And by the way, it'll make this market that much more exciting and more interesting. The whole world's going to look to Salt Lake on how to behave.
Well, listen into what Dave had to say on Dave and Dujanovic, and then we'll chat on the other side of it, because it sounds like Snowbird is all in.
And so as we look at what UDOT has narrowed the options down to, either widening the road into a four-lane highway that by our calculations would be 84-plus feet wide, so picture Provo Canyon, but with snow sheds, big concrete tunnels for a bunch of the upper section of the highway, or gondola. And one of those options is clean and efficient and works in all weather conditions. Conversely, the highway continues to be a problem, whether it's two lanes or four lanes, because of the amount of snow we get, and traction can erode so quickly. And then people are stuck in the canyon. And we don't believe vehicles are the solution to Little Cottonwood Canyon. It's a very unique environment. And the ironic part is, when it's snowing the hardest, that's when people want to be here the most.
Powder
that's
days.
When the skiers want to come up the canyon. And so as we've studied gondola, it has emerged as the far and away best choice for long-term sustainability, least amount of impact on the watershed in the canyon, the least amount of construction impact. And these things last a long time. These gondolas can last 50 years. And move thousands of people an hour if that's what you desire.
So you drive up every day, right? You're the biggest user. One of the things I want to ask you about, the rumor is too that Snowbird at least has agreed that if the gondola is chosen, you would also look at a conservation easement for Mount Superior. So that beautiful peak we all see, that little side slope that you all see, is that true that you all would preserve that as clean and pristine?
That's exactly right. We have owned Mount Superior for some time, everything except the very peak of Mount Superior, as well as other lands that we had earmarked for the Mountain Accord, Central Wasatch Commission land exchange. That doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and we are so convinced that the gondola is the cleanest most sustainable option for the future, that we have initiated conversations with some of these organizations that do conservation easements. And if Gondola is chosen, we will put our lands, there's about 1,100 acres in Little Cottonwood Canyon and then also a little bit in Big Cottonwood Canyon, into a conservation easement. So Mount Superior would be preserved eternally, would be the goal.
All right. So there's part of the conversation. And then they get into the cost of what it would cost a family to get on the gondola to head up the canyon. And he goes on to talk about how, and Navi, you can jump in here, how Snowbird and Alta would be contributing to the cost of this, obviously, because it's going to benefit them in the long run. But it's always nice to hear them talk about the conservation side of doing something that's going to improve things so dramatically.
This is a resource that we must do everything in our power to protect. They're not making these cornices. They're not making these beautiful mountains. This is all we got. And when this one is, you know, decimated because of the population growth, because of interest, because of curious and desire to be in the woods, it's just going to be have to be protected. And by the way, they've done a really good job, like I talk about in Europe. And this is how they've done that. And it would be so wonderful because you would create these areas of marketplace at the base of the Gondola, which would be inside of Salt Lake City limits. So what the tourism industry would do for our economy would be fabulous, plus the benefits of the sustainability of this project and the energy. And by the way, the carbon monoxide of this state is terrible. And we're not going to be able to drive our cars to these places. This is how we're going to do it. It's the best choice, hands down.
Bob, you've been a part of these conversations behind the scenes, I know, with tourism offices and probably with Ski Utah involved. Be a fly on the wall here for a minute and tell us how those conversations have gone in the past.
Well, I think it's, you know, supporting this concept, you know, again, you know, echoing what Navi said, you know, this is what they're using in Europe. And, you know, I've skied in Austria and, you know, it works very effectively. You know, there's a lot of pressure in that canyon. There's a lot of pressure on that road and on the resources there. And as Navi said, this is a great way of preserving what we have there, and we've got to do it now. This actually creates a model for the industry in North America. I think with Salt Lake going in this direction, which I support wholeheartedly, as the ski industry does, is I know if you've talked to Nathan at Ski Utah, I'm sure they're backing this. It creates a model for future development within the ski industry throughout the country. And right now, there's so much pressure in Utah with the growth of the state, not just in southern Utah with our parks, but also on those canyons up north. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. So now's the time to make these adjustments.
Yeah, Navi, it almost brings a smile to my face when I hear people trying to argue about the impact on the environment to put on a gondola or put up a gondola up that canyon. And yet say that somehow keeping cars on the road up there is going to be better in the long run. Makes no sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Cars are going to decimate the air. That's the problem. We think we have to go places in our car, and we just frankly don't, and we're not going to be able to. I mean, we don't have the surface area that we need to accommodate the population. These are the kind of adjustments we have to make, and as Bob said, sooner is better.
Yeah. I'd like to think it would happen in my lifetime, my ski lifetime, but I'm not so sure that's the case. The decision might come down, but the actual completion of it and being around to see it or actually still be skiing to enjoy it, I don't know whether that's going to happen in the next 15 years or so. Fingers crossed, anyway. Guys, thank you for that. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have our camp spot of the week, and not one, but two. Yes, friends, if one member of the Smith family is good, two must be better. We're going to be talking with Christy and how she navigates hiking and camping. She was on with us talking about taking her two young twin boys out, but this time had an infant in tow to go hiking. Not many parents would even attempt that. We'll talk about it next and wrap up this week's KSL Outdoors Radio. Don't go away.
Camping feels good. Camping here in the woods. Camping.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Makes me sing.
Oh, how I love to go. Time for our camp spot of the week this week to finish out the program, and it turns into more of a hike of the week than it is a camp spot of the week. And I should just warn everybody, if you hear a belch in the background, that's not Russ. That's his grandchild, actually, because his daughter Christy is here, and the baby, I guess, is getting ready to be burped, or the dog is going to join in the conversation here.
There we go. She went out.
We got everybody in the family.
Got the whole crew, yeah.
This is great. You asked earlier today, Russ, if it would be okay to bring Christy into the conversation,
right,
which is fantastic because I think she's brave to take on some hikes and some camp spots that many families, particularly right, those with infants, would never even consider, Russ.
Yeah, she's a trooper, all right. It's fun to see them all suited up, ready to go with the backpack all packed with a baby in it.
How old is this baby, Christy?
So Wyatt is 3 months.
3 months yeah, old. And you already have taken him out on a hike to the High Uintas.
We're a little crazy, but, you know, honestly for us, he sits up pretty well and holds his head up. So we felt good about taking him in his pack.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I've ever had you on at the same time as your dad. So with him, yeah, with him listening, tell me about this.
It'll probably never happen again.
tell me about this love of the outdoors and why you're so anxious to share it with your kids, even at 3 months old.
You know, it started when I was a kid. We went camping or fishing through the summer, and my husband, John, loves the outdoors as well. And it's just something we both grew up with, and we both just love being in the outdoors and sharing it with our boys. There's just so many from going camping or on a hike. And it's just, it's a great way to just be involved as a family.
Yeah. And Wyatt will talk forever fondly of when he went on a hike when he was 3 months old.
Yeah.
Not,
yes, he will.
Not. It reminds me of when I decided to take my two-year-old to Disneyland and decided that was not a good idea either. Russ, are you familiar with the area that she's talking about today?
Not really. I haven't hiked that trail ever that I can recall. So I could make something up if you'd like.
No, that's all right. We'll let somebody that's actually been there talk about
it. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
You said it's near a lake, and you've got the name of the lake and the name of the hike itself.
So it is Crystal Lake Trailhead on Mirror Lake Highway. And the hike itself is called 20 Lake Hike.
And you don't hike past 20 lakes, really, do you? Sounds like a long walk.
No, you do.
You do?
It's a 7.5-mile loop, and it goes past 20 different size lakes. Now, when we went, we actually took a different turn and didn't get to all those lakes. Mind you, we should have looked at the trail map before we went on the hike.
Yeah.
Learned that this time. And so we made it to one of the lakes, but otherwise they're all bunched pretty close together, maybe half a mile between some of them, if that.
Well, that might be one of the main lessons. And the last time you were on with me, your dad was not on that week. You talked about a camp spot that you guys went to. And the important thing, if you're going to take kids, is to be flexible with how the kids are handling the situation, what the weather might be like. You know, whether there's one child that, you know, gets a skinned up knee or something, things change and you have to be willing to still find something enjoyable out there, but maybe change plans on not taking quite as long a hike and having an exit strategy.
Yes, very true. Where we got to was about 2.5 miles or so from the trailhead. And by that time we knew the kids were done. So we're like, okay, let's get some pictures, and then we'll have a snack and head back. Up there, it was a beautiful day. We had mostly cloudy skies, chance of rain, but we didn't have to worry about it too much. And it was like 70 degrees, so it was a delightful day on the mountain.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So the boys at this point are self-mobile. They're walking. They're hiking along with you.
Yeah, they're 6 years old, hiking along with us, have their own backpack to carry their own water and snack.
And the little one's just in a backpack or a papoose or something?
He's in his own hiking backpack. So right. he sits behind John and goes along for the ride.
Any recommendations on backpacks for people that want to take little ones out?
If you're willing to save and spend the money, Osprey is one of the best packs for little guys, little babies.
You can't beat that. Here's the other thing. Realize, of course, and I have to remind myself of this sometimes on hikes and biking rides or bike rides, if you're going in 5 miles, it's 5 miles to get back out. So you kind of, you know how you feel, but it's tough to tell how the little guys feel. And you really have to pay close attention because if you only go 2 miles in, that's still 2 miles to get back to the car.
Exactly. And so necessary breaks and snack breaks, they have to happen. Otherwise, everyone gets a little too cranky.
Yeah. And do they all carry their own little water or are mom and dad in charge of that?
Oh, no. So they have their own little backpack that carries a bladder, and then they have a snack in their little zip pocket, and we'll carry the bigger stuff. But otherwise, they're in charge of making sure that they're drinking enough water with some reminders.
And Russ, you've told me before how darn cute those 2 6-year-olds are with their own little backpacks headed out.
Yeah, they are. They're all color-coordinated and ready to go, and they're very serious about this. So that's actually encouraging.
Yeah. What's the snack of choice, Christy?
Usually goldfish or like peanut butter sandwiches. Because you know it's still going to taste good even if it gets squished in the bottom of the backpack.
Yeah, it's just more pieces to eat, more crumbs.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, again, remind us it is 20 Lakes Hike or 20 Lakes Trail.
20 Lake Hike. And you have to go to the Crystal Lake Trailhead.
All right. Good ideas this week for taking the family out and making those memories that do, as we've just proven, last a lifetime for the Smith family. Russ, if people want to phone, tell them how to find you.
Oh, just give us a call, 801-450-8317, or go to our website, skycallsatellite.com. Be sure to reserve early. Even though there might be changes in your plans, reserve early. Keep us in touch with us so that we can have a phone for you.
Sky Call Satellite. Don't go away. The Greenhouse Show is coming up next, and I'll be back with you on Monday morning starting at 5 with Amanda Dixon in Utah's Morning.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.